Today is Tuesday, even though it feels like a Monday. Many of us think it's a Thursday because nobody knows what day of the week it is. Tom Skilling is with us because it's Tuesdays with Tom. Tom, what did you do for your Memorial Day?
Well, it was a pretty normal day. I worked here. But you know, it's really amazing. I've got the home weather office going here, and I'm able to throw windows open. I have never in a half century of doing this had a weather office that had a window in it that I could open, no less. So this was kind of cool. It really was interesting to have fresh air blowing in, from my work over my workspace. So it was pretty nice.
That is absolutely amazing. In your career, your long and storied career, you never had a window to look out of in your office.
You know, but on the other hand, I always told people found that odd of a weather person. They say, no wonder you guys don't know what's going on. Well, you know, we've got tools to look at what's going on that far exceed looking out a window. In fact, I remember one of the textbooks when I was first studying weather. In the opening, whoever wrote this said, and it was some professor of meteorology, said, if you've got a window, there's nothing you can see in the time frames you're attempting to predict that really is going to help you looking out a window. And they're really kind of right about that. And also, we have these cameras all over the place on the top of the Sears, you know, the Willis Tower and Hancock Building. So I probably have a better view of what's going on in a windowless office than I do here. But it is kind of fun to look out at the real item. So, at any rate, it is kind of odd, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, very odd. Well, I'm glad you have one now. That's all good. You had to pay for it, but that's how it works in our business.
Yeah. How was your Memorial Day weekend?
Well, the weekend,
did you get out
on okay.
your famous deck?
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Architect deck? Yes, absolutely. Hold on, I got to get the plug in. Okay. Yeah, I was out there almost the entire weekend, and that's about as far as I can go. Now, I did take a couple of walks. And I went for a jog, which, you know, Tom, I think I'm actually moving slower when I'm jogging than when I'm walking, but that's a separate issue. I'm just trying to get my heart rate up and trying to do, whatever my watch tells me to do.
I commend you for the effort. I think that's just wonderful. I'll tell you. Well, good for you.
Yeah, it was okay. And yesterday I did something rather solemn. It's Memorial Day. I went down to Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery in Elwood, just south of Joliet.
Beautiful place. Oh. My parents are buried there.
Yeah.
My
dad is there, and you know, we buried him about a year ago there. This was it was really an amazingly peaceful moment to be there yesterday and to watch
it is.
All of these families. And people were very respectful in social distancing, and this wasn't like a pool party, right?
Yes.
Because it's a
no.
cemetery. But, man, I got to tell you, the numbers of people were amazing. I mean, it was like a parade going in and going out. It is immensely moving to be down there.
I've been out there. I didn't have a chance to get out yesterday because I was working. But a woman sent me a picture from there, and it was moving to see that. And I did a little investigating. Do you know that there are 59,000 souls buried down there? And, it's an extraordinarily peaceful and beautiful place. And what a tribute to those who have served this country. It really is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah,
my dad was in the Merchant Marine during World War II, and you know that more Merchant Mariners lost their lives than folks in the Navy, or at least that's the stat I've read, because, you know, they would ship all the supplies over to Europe, and my father was a mechanical engineer. He was in college when the military folks came in and said, we need engineers to run these transport ships, and he worked down in the boiler room, and he said, you know, he would hear the torpedoes hitting other, because they didn't have enough destroyers to accompany them on the way over with shiploads of supplies, which were necessary. Pretty amazing. The sacrifice of that generation and so many who have fought our wars.
What is amazing to me is just in the last year, how many more graves there are, and they're building these structures, the columbariums, where you can place urns with ashes in them. They have room down there for hundreds of thousands.
You know, you drive in there and you think, gosh, you know, we criticize our government at times and all, but I'm telling you, they really did an amazing job down there. That is just a hallowed place.
Yeah.
There are no two ways about it.
Right.
Another thing about it covers over 900 acres. That's a huge, huge area down there. But what a perfect setting. It's quiet. It's peaceful. It's in the midst of, in many respects, farm country, and it's so beautiful.
100% right. You know, we criticize the VA, criticize the military, and the bureaucracy of both of those organizations, but the VA does an amazing job. I will tell you this, not only in what they do for the national cemeteries, which are beautiful. If anybody's ever been to Arlington, it's an absolute must-see. If you've not been there, you go to Washington, you get on the train, it's 7 minutes on the metro to get right to the, right there into the middle of the action. And it is absolutely one of the most beautiful, solemn, amazing places you were ever going to go. So I suggest people do that. But the VA hospital system, the VA medical system is amazing. The doctors and the nurses, especially at Hines, that's where I've had my experience there, and up at Lovell, up in North Chicago, the people are dedicated. Most of them are former service people who are the nurses and the attendants and all the rest of the people who are working there. And they take really, really great care. Really great.
Yes, they do.
Okay, Tom, hold on 1 second. We'll be back with Tom Skilling and more about the weather. But it's Tuesday. It's Tuesdays with Tom. Tom Skilling is joining us right now. And let's talk about the weekend weather because it got a little scary out there, Tom.
Oh, my word. You know, haven't we gone through the ringer in the last couple of weeks? Yeah, we had an EF0 tornado that touched down near the I-80 exit to Minooka, and then it went across to Joliet. And I was sent video of that storm in progress down in Joliet. Gosh, there was damage. That EF0 had 85-mile-per-hour winds, but they had microbursts down there, too, that produced 75 to 95 mile per hour winds, according to the Weather Service survey folks. But then there was flooding and rain, and May very well, if we get just about 92 hundredths of an inch of rain, we're up at 908 now for the month. If we get 92 hundredths more, we'll enter a territory a May has never entered before. That's the 10-inch plus rainfall club. There have only been, my colleague Steve Kahn looked at this, there have only been 8 months in weather history around here, going back to 1871, that have had 10 inches or more of rain. Only 8 months. This may be the ninth, and it would be the first May to enter that club if indeed we get something close to an inch or more, and there's a very real possibility of doing that before we close the books on this month at midnight this Sunday.
What are they mostly? What are they mostly June, July, August, or is there a surpriser in there?
Yeah, no, they're scattered all over. But, you know, that big flood back in 1987 in August, that was the year before the heat wave and drought year of 88. But that 87 flood, folks will remember that. We've talked about it before. That's the one that knocked you off the air when you were working at MAQ. That thing produced 12 inches of rain in a single storm, and that was into the north end of the city. There was over 9 inches at O'Hare. But that single rain event, when averaged into the 30-year period that we use to calculate so-called normals, has skewed August as the wettest month of the year here in Chicago, and that won't be figured into the next 30-year block of new normals that are issued every decade by the Weather Service. And so it may be that May becomes our wettest month of the year on the averages. That's the speculation inside the office. But boy, we've sure seen that on display in recent weeks.
Oh, have we ever? Have we ever? Okay, so last week we had the storms that rolled through.
Yeah, early in the week. Two major flooding record rains.
Right.
Then, we get superimposed all those thunderstorms and tornadoes and everything else on top of it, parts of the area. Yeah, it's been wild.
And at the end of the week, right, so we had all of those things kind of work up, and then you had that really intense system that went through on Saturday, but it was fast. And then, Sunday hit or miss. Yesterday, there was, I guess, through the Southland, there was some.
Right, down by Peoria, really hard hit.
Yeah.
2 to 3 inches or more of rain, flooding. Trees snapped by thunderstorm winds. These things were marching north and northeastward, but they hit the stable layer up here. We'd had a couple of thunderstorms go through in the morning. It stabilized the air mass. So you just watch these things evaporate away as they came north. But we're going to see more of these clusters because we're in tropical air through Thursday night. and then we cool off Friday and Saturday and start warming again. We'll be back into the mid and upper 80s, the middle and end of next week. And something else interesting, Ro, that 90 on Sunday at O'Hare, we had to wait till June 26th to get a 90 a year ago, and the average first date of a 90 in Chicago is on or about June 10th. So we're early on that, and going into that warm spell, we'd had only one 80-degree temperature on the books this year. There should have been five by the end of next week, or last week. So we've literally jumped into summer, in summer-like warmth and humidity, nearly overnight, which is so often the case around here.
Yeah. But, yeah. It was, and what's interesting more than anything else is how people are still, they're trying to get out, but we're not as bad here as some of the people were. If you've seen the video of this, has now gone viral in the Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri.
Yeah.
And, you know, people at pools, I'm sure that was happening in places that there may not have been video of, but I know up and down the lakefront, if the beaches were closed and people weren't trying to sneak on.
Oh yeah. No question about it. Steve Shore, one of our videographers, operates our station drone, and he showed this incredible drone sequence of our lakefront, you know, with the harbors empty and everything else. It really was almost surreal. You know something else, too, Ro? I hear discussions about this video of beaches crowded and all, and some people were saying this really doesn't reflect what happened, because the fact is the majority of folks, I gather, are abiding by these rules, and therefore these instances of crowded beaches and all are more the anomaly than the norm, according to those who watch such things. So who knows? But it was sure quiet here. That's for certain.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like everything in our modern era, everything is being propelled by social media and Facebook and the politics of people are starting fights over wearing a mask, whether that is some sort of political statement or not a political statement. And it's just ridiculous. I think you're right. I think that the vast majority of Americans understand exactly what's happening here, and they want to stay safe, especially those who are older and more vulnerable to this. I think they're very well aware of what the news is. And then there's others that are just like, they never care about anything. But growing up as a professional hypochondriac, I can just tell you that I'm prepared for this completely, is what I could tell you. I was born for a pandemic. So I know how to panic. I know how to be overly sensitive about it. And I've had some people call up the telephone number here, 312-981-7200. People have called up and said, hey, you're a bit of a wuss. And I'm like, I'm a happy wuss right now because I'm alive. That's the way I feel about it.
Hey, I'd wear that as a badge of honor these days. I mean, you know, that's not a bad thing to have going for you. I'm kind of a homebody, too. So, you know, I feel for folks who have this unabiding need to get out. I guess we all do at some level, but I understand the gravity of it. The consequences of doing otherwise are enough to give me reason for pause.
Some of the people in the Lake of the Ozarks video that has gotten so much attention, that they look like they're right in the middle of the demo that should be staying at home. And they're like, you know, out there smoking a cigar and blowing in each other's faces and high-fiving, sharing a drink and all that. And, you know, I really hope, I pray that this does not turn into another vector, and then we start to relight this thing coming off of it, like in Missouri, for example, which has been relatively spared by this by comparison to other states of similar size. But now all of a sudden they're like, this wasn't a big deal. And I think that's kind of the trick of the virus, which is that humans settle into a certain behavior, which is what they see. They're like, oh, no, this is somebody else's problem, or this is going on somewhere else. And then it starts to roll around in that community, and it takes advantage. The virus takes advantage of people who are not doing it. It's how it stays alive, essentially, right? Because in New York, there's some pretty good social distancing. I think it's a bit amazing here in the Chicago metropolitan area. People are, you know, very respectful. Yes, there, you know, suburban parties with the groups, but I think people are, they're aware of it. They're not necessarily shaking hands, and they're doing what they're doing, as we've seen it on the news. But in places where it hasn't been, you just hope it doesn't become that. Because we do not, we cannot shut this economy down again.
No, people are, I don't know how people are doing it. I you know, can you imagine losing your job and not having an income and then trying to figure out how you're going to pay the rent and clothe your children and educating them and all the rest? I mean, this is Nutsville. We've got to find some way to operate with this so that we don't destroy people's lives. And I'm not a doctor, Roe, and I know you wouldn't claim to be either. All we can do is follow the guidance of those who know and hope that there's some rationality to the policy involved. So, because people have got to, you know, get back to work and have an income coming in. There are no two ways about it.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, Tom. Tom Skilling, Tuesdays with Tom. We'll see you on the WGN TV weather starting at 5 o'clock, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And you get to see Tom's apartment. You get to see Tom sometimes in a bathrobe, sometimes in his pajamas. Tune in because you never know what you're going to see.
Waldo meows and Maddie barks. I mean, it is just a regular circus over here. Yeah. So thanks, bro. It's good to talk to you. All right.